This is Kevin Burke from the Department of Kinesiology, Leisure, and Sports Sciences at East Tennessee State University. Thanks for listening to Burke on Mayberry. Well, in this episode entitled Alcohol and Old Lace, it aired on January 30th, 1961. It was written by Charles Stewart and Jack Ellenson and directed by Gene Reynolds. If you don't know it by the title, this is the episode where you had the Morrison sisters, Claire Bell and Jennifer, who were doing something illegally, and the way the show leads you to believe they didn't know they were doing something illegal and actually helped Andy and Barney with their jobs. Yes, it's talking about moonshining and selling elixir. Basically, the episode opens up and Andy or Barney are trying to find about all this stills that are illegal in Mayberry, and we'll talk about a little tidbit of the episode a little bit later about that. And to their surprise, they run into Claire Bell and Jennifer, and they tell them exactly where Ben Sewell's still is. And Barney had an idea he thought where it was, but the ladies had actually seen it. They gave Andy and Barney the tip, and they went and visited Ben Sewell. Now, when you see Ben Sewell, you're going to say, wait a minute, isn't that Rafe Hollister? And you'll be right. In future episodes, this character, who we're going to talk about a little bit more in depth later on, did play Rafe Hollister. So again, the sisters basically throughout the episode kept giving Andy and Barney tips of people who are selling moonshine, and while unbeknownst to them, they were selling their special elixir, which they thought was okay to sell if it's only going to be used for holidays and celebrations and special occasions. Well, of course, anybody wanted to buy something would make up something like Muhammad's birthday or the day Sir Walter Raleigh landed. So again, it's all kinds of things like that. Well, the way they were finally discovered, if you remember, Opie had sneaked into the Morrison sisters. They were florists, and so he had sneaked into their greenhouse, and they saw him in there. And basically, Opie said that he had gotten in trouble at school, and the teacher was mad at him and said he really needed to give her some nice flowers. And so the Morrison sisters sent out some flowers, and they made a mistake of putting his flowers in a jar that had been used to make the moonshine. So Opie goes by to show his pa and Barney what he's got for his teacher, and they give him a little bit better vase to put the flowers in, and leave the jar there on the table. And what happens is they both start to smell a funny smell, and it's a funny little scene where Andy and Barney actually are looking over where they're going to do their next little search for still, and they keep moving the jar back away from each other. And then Opie comes back into the room, and he mentions something about the Morrison sisters' flower-making machine. And Andy, it takes him a second, and then he says, what do you mean, a flower-making machine? He says, you know, flowers aren't made by machines. So what does that machine look like? So Opie goes into his description of the flower-making machine, and lo and behold, he's describing a still. Now, at the same time, Otis Campbell had arrested himself, put himself in jail, paid his fine, and went into the jail cell. And when he heard Opie describing the machine, he knew he was in trouble, because now the only place close by that he could get moonshine was being found out by Andy and Barney. You know, what had happened earlier in the episode is that the Morrison sisters pretty much had given away the locations of all the other stills. So the way the episode ends, Barney and Andy go up to the Morrison sisters, tell them that they've got a still, and Barney acts like he wants to arrest them, but you know Andy's not going to arrest these nice ladies. And Barney takes an axe, and you may remember this phrase, pow, 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 and that's what he does to the still. And so it splashes on Andy, who takes a accidental drink, let's say. And the episode ends there with a small little snippet where the Morrison sisters have decided they're going to make preserves. And they gave Andy a jar. He goes inside and realizes Barney already had a jar, and he's been eating out of it, and Barney's drunk because they had used the same jars that they were mixing moonshine in, and it obviously still had some in the preserves. So again, a funny episode with Barney. The episode ended with Barney basically getting gassed while he's eating the preserves. So let me tell you a few little tidbits about the episode. The actor Gladys Hurlbut plays as Claire Bell Morrison and Charity Grace as Jennifer Morrison. In this episode, you don't see Aunt B. You do get a small beginning of the episode where Andy's like, Howard, I can't believe what's going on, talking about Howard McNair as Floyd the Barber, because Floyd actually got his sideburns straight. That's probably my favorite part of this particular episode. But anyway, getting back to the the character of Ben Sewell. Ben Sewell was played by Jack Prince. Now, again, as I mentioned earlier, Jack Prince appeared on about a half a dozen episodes. The rest of them is Rafe Hollister. Now, Jack Prince was born on January 19, 1920, and his original name was John Upchurch, but by the 1940s, he took the name Prince. In 1942, he was in the U.S. Army, serving in France, and during that time in the Army, he formed a band called the Chow Hounds. He had a lot more acting than a lot of people are performing experience a lot of people realized. Later on, he got a role as Nicely Johnson in the national tour of Guys and Dolls. In 1955, he took his only regular role on television. He was a vocalist on the Johnny Carson Jello Hour. Now, how many of you knew that? And here's another little interesting tidbit. Later on, he teamed up with Ray Bolger, if that name sounds familiar to you. He was in The Wizard of Oz. And they, in Las Vegas, had a band called The Prince and His Paupers. Later on, Jack Prince went to New York. He worked with jazz legend Charlie Parker. He also played in Marion Sam and Little Abner on Broadway for 3 years. And in 1960 is where he met Andy Griffith. And they appeared together in a Broadway version of Destry Rides Again. Andy went to hear Jack Prince play and was really taken with him and invited him to come on the Andy Griffith Show, which he did for about six times. Again, Jack Prince had a long career doing a lot of different performances. He's very multi-talented. And he passed away in 1994. So there's a little bit of background information on a gentleman that played Ben Sewell and probably the more famous character, Rafe Hollister. Some little notes about the episode. You know, Andy states in this particular episode that any type of alcohol is illegal in the county of Mayberry. Yet in the Christmas Story episode, which we've already talked about, you remember Ben Weaver sells spirits at Weaver's department store. So again, maybe there's a need a clarification of that. I mentioned earlier about some of the reasons people gave for buying the elixir. You know, Otis tells the Morrison sisters that he was celebrating the day that Sir Walter Raleigh landed in Virginia. Lars Hansen gets his elixir by saying he was celebrating Muhammad's birthday. And his sisters make a comment about they thought Lars was a Lutheran, but you can never tell except for the holidays. One other customer told the sisters that they needed the elixir for Panama Canal Day. And then Rube Sloan, who was jailed for making his own moonshine, believed that either Les Peterson or Frank Watson told Andy about the whereabouts, but of course he coaxes it out of Barney, who can't keep a secret. I was going to ask this as a trivia question, but do you know how much the sisters sold their elixir for? It was $4 a jar, because remember Otis complained, and basically this the sisters had developed a monotony because everybody else had been put in jail. Another interesting thing about this episode was that Andy and Barney believed that the still may be located in Fancy Gap. Fancy Gap is an actual real town in Virginia, which is only a few miles north of Mount Airy, North Carolina, which, of course, is where Andy Griffith grew up. So, again, I mentioned to you in earlier episodes that Andy at various times would take things from his real life and put it into the show, and I believe that's one of the reasons why the show seems so authentic. I want to talk also a little bit about a character who didn't appear in this episode, but one of the lovable characters on the Andy Griffith Show, and that's Goober. Now, you might wonder, well, when did Goober come about? If you don't know this already, George Lindsay, who's still alive and doing all kinds of appearances, he had also a long career on Hee-Haw, he replaced Gomer and played this role of Goober. Now, if you didn't know this, an interesting tidbit, George Lindsay had auditioned for the role of Gomer, and he almost had it until Jim Nabors showed up. And, you know, how could you deny Jim Nabors playing Gomer Pyle? Well, George Lindsay became a regular on the Andy Griffith Show during its fifth year, and you know that the fifth year, at the end of that year, is when Don Knotts left. So when he did, Goober started getting larger roles in the scripts. Now, again, similar to the Gomer character, George Lindsay played a role of like a child in the body of a man. You know, he wore a beanie, he read comic books, he was scared of women, and there's a couple episodes where they're trying to set him up on dates, but he was a good-natured country boy. There's only one episode that we'll talk about much later where Gomer really, he grows a beard and somehow becomes intelligent. I said Gomer, but I meant to say Goober, grows a beard and becomes real intelligent, and I really thought that varied away from the character, but wouldn't be too much unlike what Goober would probably do. But Goober, the way he was different from Gomer, In some ways, he was more animated, and he seemed a little bit more naive. Now, George Lindsay came from Alabama, so he's familiar with the South, and he attended Florence State College. There he played football, and he was involved in theater on campus. He spent 3 years in the Air Force and then came out after that and taught American history at Hazel Green High School in Huntsville, Alabama. He was also a head coach, but he left teaching to attend the American Theater Wing at Hunter College in New York. He studied dramatics for a couple years, and he developed a comedy routine. He later appeared in the number one Fifth Avenue and The Living Room. His first television appearance was on The Jack Parr Show in 1961. He later appeared on stage in All American and in the movies as movie Ensign Pulver. So when he came to the Andy Griffith Show, he had been a stand-up comic and had some acting experience. But again, Goober's one of those characters that he has mannerisms and does things that are just absolutely hilarious. And, you know, one of the funnier early episodes that we'll get to eventually was when Gomer introduces Goober to Andy and Goober does his impressions. And we'll talk about that later. All right, I know you're wondering, waiting for today's trivia question. I think this one's a toughie. If you know this, you're a real fan of Andy Griffith Show. If you don't know it, well, go watch the episode. And if you don't have time to watch the episode right away, you can go to burkeonmayberry.com, and there the answer is posted for you. Here is the question. How many shots did Ben Sewell take at Andy and Barney? Now, again, what happened in the episode, Andy and Barney come up out of the woods. They discovered the still. And Andy's yelling, "Hey, Ben, you got some visitors," and then Ben shoots at him. So how many shots did Ben take at Andy and Barney? If you know the answer or want to take a shot at it, pardon the pun, please email me at burkek@etsu.edu, or again, go to burkeonmayberry.com, and there you'll find the answer. I appreciate you listening, and as they would say in Mayberry, my best to you and yours.